bringing you the freshest upfront sounds in the southeast. This is the Saturday Selection. Go crazy. Let your body move.
Hello, good evening, and a very warm welcome to this week's Saturday Selection, a veritable feast of house and techno awaits you as always. New music tonight from the likes of Gary Beck, Secret Cinema and Ben Sims, to name but a few. Also shortly, I'm going to be chatting to house music royalty. The legend that is Kerry Chandler joins me ahead of his gig in Waterford next week. From 11 o'clock, dance music's current boy wonder, Seth Troxler, shall be overseeing the selective mix. And to kick things off tonight, a brand new artist I discovered only a couple of weeks back. I love it when this happens and you look at their back catalogue and it's full of just quality sounds. This is new music from Filter Typin'. It's called On The Streets on Beat 102-103. With a career spanning over 20 years and a discography that is second to none, my guest tonight is one of the true originators of deep house music. Growing up amongst a family of jazz musicians and with a father who was a DJ as well, he was pretty much destined to live his life in time with the Beats. He makes a long awaited return to Waterford City for the Republic crew this May Bank Holiday Sunday the 6th. Kerry Chandler, what up? You good?
I'm very good, man. It's great to speak with you.
One thing you could say that you've always been credited for, Kerry, in house music circles is that you never sold out. You've never compromised your sound for anyone. Whereas, you know, in the past 20 years, you've had the likes of Morales and Junior Sanchez all remixing Madonna and all these other big chart names. Did the corporate suits come often knocking at your door? You know, were you ever in a position whereby you could have taken that road but refused to?
Yeah, man, I've had a few. I can't even say I have a few. I had a lot. And I just can't. My thing is, it's like these people already have credible careers. They've already had, you know, why do you need a dance remix for Madonna or anybody of these, you know, this caliber? You need a dance remix for Beyonce? That doesn't make any sense to me. It's like you're already doing rhythm and blues and you know, you're already making millions of sales. Why are you trying to mess with a niche that you don't really need to? This is like, you know, underground dance music. And I've turned down lots of people. I mean, the first person that approached me with that kind of thing had to be like, it was Michael Jackson.
No way.
And they wanted me to remix one of his newer songs. I think it was like Jam at the time or something. And I could not do it. I was just like, I can't hear this. This doesn't make any sense to me. There's no words to it. And it's, you know, it's not really a song to me, you know. And then they wanted me to like try, if I did do it, keep the rap in with Heavy D on it. And I was like, I can't do that. I'm not into that kind of thing. I just won't. And then, I mean, they thought that if they get Michael to actually physically call me, that I would change my mind. And I told them exactly what it was. I just can't do it. And the same reason I'm telling you, it's like, it really doesn't need it. And it's not the kind of music I make. I don't want to try to recreate a remix or something like that. It just doesn't make sense to me.
So hang on a second now, Kerry. You're telling me that the late, great Michael Jackson, the king of pop, rang you up and asked you to remix his track, and you told him no?
I told him I'm more than welcome, a real production.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I would do something with him if he wanted to, like, you know, because I love his older stuff. I'm, you know, a big fan of his work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the stuff he did with Quincy. But that second one, I just couldn't. You know, I told him he's more than welcome, and, you know, I can do anything he'd like, you know, production wise. I said, but as far as a remix for that song, I couldn't do it.
And what was his reaction?
Surprised. And he just said, I'm so sorry that, you know, you're not into it.
That is an amazing story, Kerry. That is definitely one for the grandkids. My God.
Oh, no. You know, the even funnier one was, I was still shocked to this day, and I give him props for this, for doing this. I was in L.A., and I was playing this club called Deep with Marcus Wyatt. And out of nowhere, Prince was there. Like, he's actually in the club. Like, I didn't realize he was there. And he walks up. And he looks at me, and I have the keyboard set up. And he asked me, you know, what song the key was in, you know? And he looked at the keyboard, and he just started playing, like jamming along.
No way.
Yeah, so it's just like, it's odd little things. I feel very blessed to have, like, these weird little improv things for people that I've actually grown up listening to their music and, you know, really look up to. So that, to me, was like shocker of the night, you know.
That is amazing.
Yeah, well, to me it was like, I didn't even know he was there, and he just walks up out of nowhere and just asked me what the key of the song was, and it just started jamming along. I was like, whoa, okay.
The purple one jamming.
Yeah,
I love it.
Amazing.
This week's top pick owes as much to the world of hip-hop as it does to house music. If you were a fan of rap in the 90s, well then I'm sure this is going to bring a smile to your face. The Wu-Tang Clan, they rocked it from Staten Island in New York City. Their debut album, Enter the 36 Chambers, is one of the best hip-hop albums of all time and one of its best sellers. There was a big crossover track on there, and it seems Claptone have sampled the very soul of it now for their version of Cream.
This week's Essential Selection.
Great video going around of Nick Curley absolutely wrecking the gaff at Time Warp the other week with that tune. A mass sit down on the dance floor, and of course everyone jumped after the break. That is And Me and Bleed here on Beat 102-103. Speaking of Time Warp videos, spoke about this one last week too. It was last week's Essential Selection. Check out the video of Loco Dice dropping this. It's just massive. Perupa, party non-stop.
Hi, this is Nick Fanciulli and you're listening to Darren Wright on Beat 102-103.
Saturday Selection on Beat. Now tonight you've already heard from Joris Vaughan and Charles Seagling of Technasia. My next guest is the man who would normally be at the very top of their promo list when they've got something new to plug. I've been a fan of his for near on 10 years now, and he's as synonymous with techno as the Roland 909. There's not a whole lot that can be really said about him that hasn't been before. The Baron of Techno himself, Mr. Dave Clark, how are you?
Wow, that's an intro. You're professional.
I don't know about professional now, Dave. Let's just say the pay isn't too bad and I'm better at it than any other job I've ever had, okay?
You're a smooth talker.
Well, you're not too bad yourself now on that radio show of yours.
Yeah, I know.
Getting down to business, I Love Techno was last week. You, of course, have been playing at the festival for over 10 years now, and you hosted the Red Room as you have been doing in recent years. How do you feel about the festival as a whole these days, Dave?
I knew you were smooth talking me into something.
I'm not trying to hand you a loaded gun here now or anything, but when you take a look at your Red Room, it seems like the last bastion of great techno in amongst a load of commercial names, the likes of Steve Aoki and A-Track, for example. Now, I know you don't want to step on any toes here, but at the end of the day, you're Dave Clark, and I know you're going to have a major opinion on it.
Well, the thing is, the way I see it is, what's it called? It's called I Love Techno. And for me, I love techno, and I'm in a room where I'm loving techno, and that's all I'm going to say.
First of two tunes tonight from Electric Rescue. That's new on John Digweed's Bedrock imprint. Speaking of John Digweed, he's playing in the region tonight. He's at Crystal Nightclub in Waterford for the Republic Crew. If you're in Waterford and you haven't made up your mind about where you're going to go tonight, definitely check him out. Going to be a big, big night. That tune is called Opened Hands here on the Saturday Selection. Up next, the acid-tinged sounds of DJ Pierre. And it basically does exactly as it says on the tin, because the tune is called Acid.
Yo, this is Carl Craig, straight from Hamburg, even though I'm really from Detroit. And you're listening to Darren Rice on the Saturday Selection.
Tonight's selected mixer really has earned himself a reputation as the wild man of house music. If you check out his interviews on YouTube, you'll find him in various costumes, sometimes in various states of undress, and a lot of the time talking complete and utter gibberish. Behind his hard partying exterior, though, you'll find he's a solid DJ and producer and a celebrated part of the Vision Quest crew. If you have a spare couple of minutes during the week, check out the article on him that's at residentadvisor.net this week. They spent 5 days with him over the Miami Music Conference, which highlighted the highs and the lows of the superstar DJ lifestyle and really gives a window into what his life is actually like. For the next hour, tune your ears to a set that was recorded only a matter of weeks ago by Mr. Seth Troxler.
This week's Selected Mix.
Darling and hype magnet that is Lana Del Rey gets a tribal work over from Kilkenny DJ producer Jer Cody. It is, of course, Video Games. Check out more of Jer's stuff. You'll find loads of it on SoundCloud. Still to come, tunage from And Me and Perupa. But first, big shout out to my main man, Alka Maroney in Wexford. He sorted me out with this track. Been after it for quite a while, he has, and he was good enough to share it with me. I just love that old Eric B and Rakim verse. It works so well over a 4-4 beat. There's an old Jason Nevins remix of it back in the day. I remember it used to be brilliant. Anyway, this is Lauhaus and Cabal und Lieb. A tune is called Hip House.
It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without a strong rhyme to step to. Think of how many weeks shows just left through. Time's up. Sorry, I kept thinking of this. You keep repeating your myths. The rhymes on the microphone solo with. So you sit by the radio hand on the dial soon. As you hear it, pump up the volume.
It It is without doubt that this week's guest will go down in history as one of the true pioneers of techno. He's been responsible for some of the most defining records of the past two decades and still continues to impress both through his Axis and Purpose Maker imprints. He's one of the main headliners at this weekend's live festival at Belvedere House in Mullingar, and it truly is an honour to speak to him. Mr. Jeff Mills, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, how are you?
You're clearly a man who loves his concepts, Jeff, and who's always kind of pushed techno into the realm of, you know, being more about than what just comes out of the speakers. Many of your performances are almost like art installations, some could say. When first putting something together, do you find the music you create influences how the performance will look and feel, or is it the other way around, you know, with your idea of the performance dictating how the music sounds?
Well, the concept comes first, and from that really decides what the music's going to sound like, and then even also, you know, the color of lighting, the position of the lighting, the stage, the position, my wardrobe. I mean, it really kind of dictates what's going to happen in that time after the, you know, the release of that project.
Back around the time of the Exhibitionist release, Jeff, although it was largely well received and has joined your Liquid Rooms mix as like a seminal point in techno, I remember reading some reviews that complained maybe about the quality of beat matching in parts and, you know, what some might call the rawness of the mix. Does it annoy you sometimes that you put so much work into a concept and people seem to focus on, you know, the mere technical end of things and, you know, they don't appreciate the music and understand what the concept is all about as a whole?
No. I mean, well, you know, people, even the people that were complaining, are not perfect. So if you're watching a DJ mix, you know, imperfections is what we're all about. It's how we've come this far, by trial and error. And the idea of the Exhibitionist was just to capture what a DJ was doing in that era.
In preparation for the Exhibitionist, Jeff, you obviously would have put a fair amount of time into, you know, getting together whatever tracks you wanted to put into it, but did you have many practice runs at it?
No, because it was shot in real time. So
even in the weeks leading up to it, though.
Yeah, well, that's why there were mistakes, because we shot it in real time. So in other words, all the cameras were running at the same time, and we just said go, and the cameras just captured it. And so it took more time to set up the cameras and set up the lighting and everything than it did to actually mix it.
So there were no actual false starts where maybe, you know, you fluffed the mix really bad and you're like, okay, let's go back to the start.
I think I might have done it once. I think that, you know, the needle skipped.
Just switching things across to the production end of things, Jeff. I know back at one point when you were producing in the 90s, the limitations of vinyl factored into the sound of the music you were creating. Do you find your production style has changed a great deal now since digital allows more scope sonically, or are you still striving to maintain a sound that can be enjoyed across all formats?
No, actually I don't know. I mean, each producer is different, but I don't really put so much attention and so much emphasis on the quality of the sound. I mean, it's just my personal thing. I mean, there are some producers that really spend hours and hours just getting the sound quality right. I'm more concerned about whether the music really has a substantial message to say. Like when you listen to it for the first time, does it really touch the listener in a way that might make that person want to maybe hear it again because it makes them feel a certain way?
For many people, Jeff, you know, who maybe say be getting into techno for the first time and will come across your name, the Bells kind of rings out as the quintessential Jeff Mills tune, and, you know, I know you still play it even today. Out of all your productions, are you kind of happy to be defined by the Bells, maybe by future generations, or do you feel, are there other productions of yours out there that, you know, deserve more merit, so to speak?
Well, I think it changes. I mean, I think that the material is accessible, you know, for the people through, you know, throughout the decades and things. It can have a tendency to change. So the Bells for 20 years, and then it could be something else for the following 20 years or in.
As I told Kerry Chandler the other week when I interviewed him, I would definitely be backing that man in a fight against Steve Angelo, and it nearly did come to blows. except for it was all quashed after a while. Of course, their Twitter beef is what I'm talking about. That's DJ Sneak and Colors here on Beat 102 103. Up next, it's brand new music on Kling Klong from Alex Flattner and Martin Arrear. It's called Decent Treatment, and it's this man on the remix.
Hi, this is Steve Lawler, and you're listening to Darren Rice on the Saturday Selection.
Goes out on myself and Jamel's Heavy Reel imprint Monday morning. The vinyl will be at all good stores. Loads of people on it already. The likes of Christian Smith, Secret Cinema, Samuel L. Session, Alan Fitzpatrick, Alexander Kowalski, Marco Bailey, Par Grindvik, Cyan, Jesus, Gregor Treshor. I could go on and on. Not to mention Dave Clark as well. It is, of course, George Lanham, the Top Shantan, and Mark Broom on the mix. Right, up next, a project I'm really, really excited about. Ben Sims and Kirk DiGiorgio. They've been running the Machine Club Night for near on a year or so now. They've formed a label of the same name, and they've just released their first EP, which is a collaboration between the two of them. This is Kirk DiGiorgio's own effort. It's called Machine Theme, and of course, who else on the remix but Mr. Ben Sims himself.
Hey, this is Chris Leaving, and you're listening to Darren Rice on the Saturday Selection.
Tonight's guest is widely considered to be one of the most important names in house and techno. He's just celebrated the 20th anniversary of his seminal imprint Planet E with an amazing best of release. The legend that is Mr. Carl Craig. How are you, sir?
What's up?
20 years to be at the top of your game label-wise. It's quite a long time, Carl. How did the shift in the business model affect you? Did you find it tough, the whole switch over to digital, or, you know, is vinyl still going strong for you?
Yeah, you know, vinyl just is not what it used to be. I love it, and, you know, we're always going to be a vinyl label, but, you know, unfortunately, all these pirates out here, all these people who think that Jack Sparrow out here taking the music and giving it away, you know, has definitely killed it for a lot of folks. And, you know, it used to be where a lot of artists could live on their music, but nowadays, you know, I've got to get a job at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it yourself that took it into your own hands? You kind of bootlegged a bootlegger, so to speak, a few years back.
Yeah, I did that a few times. I did that recently on SoundCloud. So, you know, it's the concept that, you know, if someone wants to bootleg my record and try to sell it, or, you know, mash it up as a what is considered a bootleg or edit or whatever, then, you know, I will just take it and I will put it on SoundCloud for free, you know.
You will claim your rights, so to speak.
I will claim the right for it, yeah.
Speaking of SoundCloud, Carl, I know Ireland has a little claim there with Planet E these days, seeing as you signed the Psychotron Boys, and that all came from them leaving something in your Dropbox. Do you find much new talent that way, or do you find with the internet, because it's so big and so vast, you get a lot of terrible music and it's hard to, you know, track down those gems?
Well, man, you know, when I signed Recluse, Recluse put a demo tape in a sandwich. So
something different.
So it doesn't matter where it comes from, as long as I like it.
Just about time to wrap up this week's Messin'. A big thanks to Sebastian Doreen, aka Lovebirds, for handling this week's selected mix. If you want to have a go at that yourself, you don't have to be a superstar DJ. Email me during the week, darren.rice@beat102103.com. and I will hook you up. Andy Mack is on the way with the vinyl sessions next. I shall return at the earlier time of 8 p.m. next Saturday night as we bring the Saturday selection to Strawberry Fest 2012. Going to be coming to you live from the Captain's Island Arena. Loads of house and techno goodness lined up. Until then, behave yourself.
Saturday nights, Darren Rice, Beat 102 103.